Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we heard Jesus' answer to the question about the greatest commandments in the law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But as we discussed, the greatest commandments in the law are still not the greatest teaching in the Bible. The greatest teaching in the Bible is the gospel. How Jesus, the Christ, by his perfect life and by his innocent death on the cross, earned the forgiveness of sins for all who had broken the greatest commandments in the law. And how the Lord now promises to forgive sins to all who believe in Jesus. We see a brilliant example of the forgiveness of sins happening, taking place in today's gospel. What it is, how it takes place, and who has the authority to forgive. We're told that Jesus came to his own city. We think first, of course, of Nazareth as Jesus grew up there and is still known to this day as Jesus of Nazareth. But this isn't Nazareth. As Mark and Luke make clear, this is Capernaum. That's now Jesus' city because his other city, Nazareth, had recently tried to kill him by throwing him over a cliff. So he made Capernaum his adopted city, and the people there welcomed him with open arms. He was so welcome there, in fact, that the people crowded into the house where he was staying and teaching, crowded in so tightly that there was standing room only in the house. That made it impossible for four men carrying a stretcher with a paralyzed man lying on it to get through the door to get to where Jesus was. And so, as Mark and Luke tell us, they climbed up on the roof of that house, hoisted the stretcher up onto the roof, made a hole in the roof, and lowered the paralyzed man down on the bed or stretcher in front of Jesus. What an amazing scene that would have been. And yet, Matthew doesn't bother with any of those details that Mark and Luke provide for us. The way they entered into Jesus' presence that day wasn't the important part of the story. What happened next was, when he saw their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven you." You heard those same exact words this morning after you confessed your sins and your faith in Christ Jesus. Let's take a step back for a moment and consider what it means to forgive sin. There is such a thing as personal forgiveness. When someone hurts you in some way, you either hold it against them in anger so that your relationship with them remains fractured, or you forgive them and that sin is no longer held against them, although some consequences of the sin may still remain. But that's not what Jesus was doing in today's gospel, offering personal forgiveness to the paralytic. The paralytic hadn't sinned against Jesus personally, not against Jesus the man. He had sinned against God directly, as all people have. And he surely had also sinned against his neighbor, which is also a sin against God. He, like everyone else, had broken the greatest commandments in the law, and as a sinner, he deserved to remain separated from God for eternity. He deserved to die. But Jesus takes all the man's sins committed against God and against men, lumps them all together, and simply says, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven you." In other words, you're forgiven for all the wrongs that you've ever done. What does that mean, you're forgiven? It means God will not hold your sins against you any longer. God, the Holy Judge, hereby releases you from your guilt and from the punishment you deserve for your sins. You are no longer condemned. You are no longer a subject of the devil's kingdom. You are no longer going to hell. No, you are justified before God. You are declared righteous in God's courtroom. You are now a subject of God's kingdom, a beloved child of the Heavenly Father, a member of Christ, an heir of eternal life. All of that is included in the statement, your sins are forgiven you. Are there any conditions given for this forgiveness? Well, not a condition as in you have to do something first to earn it. No, there's a reason why the Holy Spirit chose to set a paralytic before us as the prime candidate for receiving the forgiveness of sins from Jesus. Like paralytics, we are unable to move, unable to earn the forgiveness of sins. But there is a condition or a component or an ingredient that does have to be there. All three gospel writers give us this key detail. When Jesus saw their faith. The Holy Spirit had all three evangelists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, record this event and this specific part of the event because it's important. When we're talking about forgiving sins, faith is an essential part of it. What is faith? It's the confidence of the heart that Jesus is good and merciful, willing and able to help, always faithful to His word and promise. And faith isn't our work or our contribution to forgiveness. It's simply the thing that has to be there, and it's worked by God, the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the word of Christ. This is why it's stated so clearly in Scripture that a person is justified before God by faith in Christ Jesus and not by doing any works of the law. That's so different from what the world thinks is the path to God. Just do your best. Just be a better person today than you were yesterday and a better person tomorrow than you were today, and you'll be fine. Just love everyone. I assure you, that is what the unbelievers in your life think. They probably even think that that's what the Christian faith is all about. So why bother being a Christian? Just be a good person and you'll be fine. But you have to tell them the truth. If they would really please God by doing good things, then they'd have to be a whole lot better than they are right now. Impossibly better. No, it's not a person's record of being good enough that will ever get them to be accepted by God. It's only faith in Christ Jesus. And contrition necessarily comes before faith. What does a person have faith in Jesus for or to do? For the forgiveness of sins. That implies that you acknowledge that you have sins that need forgiving. If you want God's acceptance through faith in Christ, that means you acknowledge you're not acceptable as you are. And if you want your sins forgiven, that implies that you no longer want to cling to them, or defend them, or think fondly of them. Oh, I know that thing I did was wrong, but it sure was fun. There can be no faith in Christ for forgiveness if you don't hate your sin, if you don't really want that sin to be erased from your past. But where there is contrition, where you yearn for a clean slate, and where you look to Christ for faith, for that cleansing, there God is willing and eager to forgive, as Jesus did for the paralytic in our gospel. That leads to the other key question. Who has authority to forgive sins, to change a person's status before God from condemned sinner to forgiven child of God? Some of the scribes and Pharisees who were crowded into that house in Capernaum raised that issue among themselves, in their hearts at least. As Luke tells us, they were thinking to themselves, who can forgive sins but God alone? They were exactly right about that conclusion. Only God can change a person's status before God. What they didn't take into account was that God was standing right there in front of them. Yes, Jesus even knew their thoughts, Matthew tells us, which only God can know. And to prove His divine authority to forgive sins, Jesus asked them, is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, then He said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he did, proving that Jesus, the Son of Man, had authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus spoke of that authority in other places as well. He said, the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Or, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All judgment, all authority, the right to grant life as He pleases, or to hold people's sins against them. That's why forgiveness apart from Jesus is impossible. Just as forgiveness apart from faith in Jesus is impossible. He and He alone has the authority to forgive sins. But if all authority and all judgment have been entrusted to Jesus by God the Father, then doesn't that mean that the same Jesus has the right to share some of that authority with others if He chooses? And He has chosen. The text before us is actually a perfect example of what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting men's sins against them. Reconciling the world to Himself doesn't mean reconciling or forgiving the sins of everyone in the world or of everyone in the room. That's not what Jesus did in today's gospel. But one by one, as the word about Christ brought people to faith, He reconciled them to God through faith. He forgave them their sins, as He did in the gospel. But then Paul goes on, and God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Just as God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, so He has appointed ministers who are Christ's divine ambassadors to call sinners to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus and to forgive the penitent and believing. So Jesus said to His apostles, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again after His resurrection, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And so ministers are set in place around the world by Jesus to keep carrying out this ministry of reconciliation, to keep reconciling sinners to God, first by preaching the law to those who need to hear it, who are secure in their sins at the moment, then by preaching about Jesus, who offered Himself as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the world. And then by acting in Jesus' name, to forgive sins to those who have been brought to faith in Jesus. We ministers can't see people's faith as Jesus was able to do, so we are left to rely on a person's confession of faith. We practiced it again here this morning in the general confession and general absolution, but private confession is also available. If you wish to be re-examined individually according to God's Word, have your personal confession of faith heard and have the absolution pronounced upon you directly. Now, the Christian life doesn't end there, receiving the forgiveness of sins from Jesus through His appointed ministers. The paralytic was healed. Then what? He got up and walked. Well, St. Paul, in today's epistle, touched on the now what of the Christian life. Now that you're forgiven through faith in Christ Jesus, now that you've put on the new man and put off the old, you get up and walk according to the new man. Live like forgiven children of God, not like unbelieving children of the devil. You wanted forgiveness for the deeds of the old man, right? So why would you continue to live in those deeds? Why wouldn't you strive to get rid of them if you wanted forgiveness for those things? There's much more we could say about that and living according to the new man and walking in the Holy Spirit, but we'll leave it for another sermon because today's gospel gives us enough to think about for the moment. The Christian faith centers around Christ and the forgiveness that He earned for us on the cross and offers to us through the Word and through the sacraments. So use the ministry of the Word that Christ has instituted. Live in repentance. Believe the gospel. And then know that the words of Christ always apply to you. Take heart, son, daughter. Your sins are forgiven you. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.